time turning with a twist. "Are you always on your period or something?" Rosie shouted at Beatrice as she walked past her desk. She knew Beatrice had never held her in high regard, but now that she came to visit her father rather frequently, Beatrice had taken to giving her quite snooty looks that displeased her greatly. It had been a most disappointing morning, and she really needed to talk to her father.
"Well, I never. I don't know how you became so ill-bred."
Rosie sailed past her and flipped her off. She strode through the door and found Quentin shouting at someone on the phone and flopped on an armchair with a thunderous look on her face.
"I said I wanted by three, and that is when I bloody well better have it!"
Quentin bellowed and slammed down the phone. He perused Rosie's face and then calmly asked, "What's the matter, honey?"
"I can't find the time turner. He's hidden it. I'm never going to find it now, and I had a plan.
Rosie, he's hidden it, you say? I don't suppose you know anyone who enjoys secretive missions, do you? Such as spying or finding hidden things?"
Rosie beamed at him and flipped up her cell phone.
"Tim, come to Quentin's office, quick. I've got a spy mission for you."
She closed it and looked at her father.
30 seconds, do you think?
Probably more like 15.
"Quit running through here! I didn't say you could..."
Beatrice screamed as the door flung open and Timothy burst in breathlessly.
"Wow! That was like 5 seconds,"
Rosie said with astonishment.
"Oh, I was listening outside her own door,"
Timothy replied with a smirk. Teddy Lupin, who was underage and not allowed to perform magic unsupervised, was just as unlikely to follow rules as his new best friend, Tim. Timothy, he thought, was the coolest person he'd ever met. He was 4 years older, wasn't afraid of anything, and best of all, loved mischief. Timothy wouldn't normally have paid much attention to a 6-year-old, but Teddy was a different story. He was a wizard, one who also looked up to him like a hero and enjoyed sneaking about nearly as much as Timothy himself did.
"Look here! Dad's made me a marauder's map of the mansion!"
Teddy shouted, and Tim shrieked with delight. Teddy's hair was neon green today, which signaled a most mischievous mood indeed. And normally, Lupin would have been watching him quite closely. He had been gone a week, however, in pursuit of Lucius Malfoy and Dolores Umbridge, who had escaped from Azkaban, and nothing had been heard from him. Teddy, of course, was used to his father disappearing on assignment for the ministry, didn't remember all the Phoenix member who had died, and wasn't at all concerned.
"Brilliant," Tim said enviously. "I can't believe your dad would make you this."
Teddy had the grace to look a bit ashamed of himself.
"Well, he didn't exactly make it for me. He sort of made it for himself, so he could keep an eye on me. But he left it here,"
he said happily as Timothy nodded. This seemed a perfectly reasonable excuse to him as well. The two boys quickly pulled it open.
"It's blank,"
Timothy shouted angrily.
"Tim, haven't you read the books?"
Teddy yelled back. He didn't exactly know what the books were, but he knew this was what one said to a muggle who didn't understand the wizarding world.
"Watch!"
He got out his Zonko's wand for underage wizards and tapped the map smartly.
"I solemnly swear I'm up to no good."
The two boys flung themselves down on the floor and watched the map intently, particularly William's footsteps as he paced around in his den.
"We'll wait till he leaves his floor, then go get that time turner," Timothy said happily. "Why don't he stop walking around?"
Teddy hollered impatiently.
"It's getting boring." "He's in love with my sister,"
Timothy told him knowingly.
"I bet he's pacing around because he wants to shag her and they fight too much." "What does a shag mean?"
Timothy rolled his eyes. Occasionally, he found Teddy unutterably naive.
"What's it mean? What's it mean?"
Teddy demanded.
"I'm not telling,"
Tim replied loftily.
"I'll get in trouble with your dad. Oh, look, he's going up the elevator."
Timothy hurriedly folded up the map, tapped it, and declared,
"Mischief managed,"
as they sprang to their feet. Rosie was so thrilled to see her brother with the time turner in his hands. She picked him up and gave him a hug. Teddy, who was hanging back a bit, looked rather disconsolate, and Rosie remembered he had neither a sister nor a mum. She knelt down and hugged him as well, and he beamed happily as his hair turned a lovely shade of sunny yellow.
"This is so great," Rosie told them fervently. "Thanks, you guys. Look, I'll be back later. I've got to go somewhere." "We want to come! We want to come!" "No, sorry. Here you are, a £50 note for you both, and Victor's passed out downstairs on the couch. You two can do him up with my makeup."
The idea seemed to go over quite well. The boys pocketed their money and raced happily out of the room. Might as well start at the beginning, Rosie thought.
"August 13th, 7 p.m., 1985, Fanshawe Manor."
She found herself standing in the dining room of the old manor house, which looked so much smaller than she'd remembered it. A quiet and rather sullen group was assembled at the table. Her mother, with puffy eyes and no makeup. Alfred, scowling and looking most foolish in a purple velvet suit. Richard poking half-heartedly at his food, a very strange sight indeed. An obviously inebriated Victor throwing back more wine, and a fretful Elizabeth fussing at him loudly. "Why do they have to come tomorrow?" she wailed and twisted a lock of her long black hair around her fingers. "Everyone's tired." She chewed nervously on the bottom of her lip, appearing more apprehensive about these visitors than actually annoyed. Rosie hoped she knew who Elizabeth was referring to.
"You're a dear bloody thing," Victor slurred angrily. "Why shut your mug? Not going to be bothering with you," he added nastily.
Elizabeth appeared stung by this last remark. She threw down her napkin and flounced out of the room.
"Oh, what a time for company!"
Lady Fanshawe shrieked dramatically, waving her hands in front of her face.
"I am worn out from putting this wedding together, and trying to make Loretta behave properly has ruined my nerves."
"You need to try to keep him in the dark about how bloody mad she is,"
Victor replied smugly, as he took another long draught of wine.
"Well, I thought everything went all superbly,"
Alfred announced proudly, as if he himself had produced the entire affair.
"And what do you know?"
Solange shrieked. She seemed the most upset of the entire unhappy group. Mum was hoping it wouldn't go off, Rosie thought sadly. That's why she looks like that. She's been crying. She thought maybe he'd change his mind. And there she is stuck with Alfred, she shuddered.
"But I say, I have a bad feeling about this," Richard said darkly. "Neither of them seemed very happy, you know."
"You were a bugger that wanted it,"
Victor told him cheerfully, as he stuffed the remains of the wedding cake in his mouth at a rapid rate.
"And what's wrong with that?" Richard boomed. "I like him rather well. He'll make something of himself."
He gave Victor a meaningful glare, which Victor appeared not to notice. Rosie decided she'd seen quite enough of that cheerful crowd, and gave her very young mother another sympathetic glance as she shouted out the present date. She undressed for bed that night in a rather pensive mood. She could have gone right back to the next day, she thought, but there was something painful about seeing all those old memories. They all screwed up, she thought sadly, or got screwed. Elizabeth married Victor and he turned out to be a cheating old soak. Mum married an earl and then found out he was gay. And Loretta shouldn't have married anyone at all because she's crazy. She started at the loud crack and the sight of William's sudden appearance in her room, a furious expression on his face.
"Now you're stealing my stuff," he shouted. "I showed you that time turner because I trusted you. They're totally rare and really expensive. And how many people have a present from Dumbledore? Remus is always after me, keeping a vault at Gringotts. That's what it's worth."
Despite this torrent of invective, Rosie noticed he took a quick glance at her green silk thong, bare legs, and clinging camisole top.
"I didn't steal it,"
she yelled back and was horrified when tears sprang up into her eyes.
"I wouldn't steal anything like that from you. I just borrowed it. When I'm done, I'll put it back."
"Done with what?" he demanded hotly. "Spying on my uncle and trying to find out what happened with Elizabeth?"
She nodded mutely.
"It's none of your business. Leave him alone,"
he said threateningly. Rosie was rather annoyed with herself when she thought briefly that he looked quite sexy like this, his face flushed and his long bangs in his eyes. Apparently he'd been getting ready for bed as well, since his feet were bare and he was wearing a tight t-shirt and flannel pajama bottoms.
"I'm not bothering him," she shrieked back defiantly. "I like him. I like him a lot. He's a lot nicer to me than you are."
"Then stay out of it. He's in the middle of it. Can't you see how Elizabeth acts around him?"
Rosie pondered this for a minute.
"She doesn't act any way at all. She won't ever even look at him."
"And that's normal?"
"Well, no," she frowned. "Well, I mean, she's pretty reserved. She'd make polite comments and stuff since he's nice and all. Or maybe she'd flirt with him because he's so hot."
This was absolutely the wrong thing to say.
"What do you mean by that? First you want to spy on him and now you want to shag him?"
he shouted furiously.
"No, I don't want to shag him, you retard," she screamed. "And you look just like him, except you're younger, so you ought to be flattered."
William did not appear especially flattered.
"Give it back," he spat out and held out his hand. "Give it to me now."
"No, what are you going to do, put a hex on me?"
"I don't need to hex you," he replied in an infuriated voice.
Both of them leapt for the time turner on the bedside table at the same moment. Rosie snatched it up as he grabbed wildly at her arm, and they toppled over onto the bed wrestling. William had her pinned beneath him in a few minutes, but the turner was still clutched stubbornly in her hand.
"Are you to break off my fingers now to get it?" she screeched. "You hurt me, and my dad's going to kill you!"
I can't stand you, he snarled. They stared at each other, flushed and panting, and it seemed the exact same moment when they realized just how they were dressed and the position they were in on the bed. William had the disadvantage, in that this became apparent immediately, but while Rosie tried to hide it, her lips seemed to part of their own accord, and she stared at him intently, her pupils dilated and her brown eyes smoldering. Rosie, he panted in a strangled tone. He let go of her arms and put his hands up to cup her face, kissing her fiercely. Rosie felt the time turner slip from her hands and drop to the floor, but instead of reaching for it, put her arms around his neck. She vaguely noticed the lights had dimmed to the soft orange glow she'd seen in the potions room. Afterwards, she decided it hadn't been like she'd imagined at all. There wasn't any romance, there was very little foreplay, and she hadn't needed to tell him a thing. But it had been some great sex anyway. William leaned back on his elbows and gave her a steady look. I just want to stay like this forever, he thought somberly. Why can't she just be who I thought she was, and not this bad-tempered, spoiled girl that fights with me all the time?
So do you still hate me?
She said in a very small voice, and he couldn't help smiling.
Well, it's kind of hard to be mad right now, he replied truthfully.
You know, when you told me at Christmas that you loved me, well, I should have said it back. Well, because I do, she whispered.
William was so stunned at this, he did not reply. Maybe I'm wrong, he thought desperately. Maybe she isn't as bad as I thought. Maybe.
Rosie, look, you've always gotten whatever you wanted, so maybe you can't help it if you're spoiled, but I don't know if I can trust you or not.
Fine, then. Fine. I don't care,
she burst out unconvincingly and sat up in the bed.
Don't you think I want to believe you, he said miserably. But even if I do, I hate fighting and it's all we ever do. You stole my bloody stuff, and then when I asked for it back, you wouldn't even give it to me.
She was silent for a few moments, her arms folded angrily across her chest.
Then why did you do it with me?
She demanded. William looked rather flustered at this.
Well, don't know, he mumbled. I guess because you're so damn hot.
Rosie jumped up in a fury.
And you said you didn't want to be like all those other guys and use me. And it's just what you did because you don't even care about me. I'd say it's me who shouldn't be trusting you.
William looked as if she'd slapped him in the face.
I'm sorry, he said frantically. Really, I am. I'm sorry. I would never want to use you. We know I care about you. Just come back to bed, please.
He said this in such a desperate little boy voice. Rosie couldn't resist. She wanted more anyway, and decided it might be even better the second time. When she discovered the answer to this, it seemed they had to go for a third, and when the sun rose, she was sleeping in his arms. Lupin reappeared at breakfast, and was rather surprised and pleased when everyone seemed glad to see him. Teddy was chattering madly about how he'd helped Timothy with some spy mission. Quentin had blurted out angrily that he could have at least sent a damn owl, betraying his concern, and William just kept smiling happily at him. This continued for so long, Lupin suspected there was something other than his appearance that William was so pleased about. And although it meant nothing whatsoever, and he certainly wasn't concerned about it, he told himself sternly, he felt a strangely giddy, lightheaded sensation when Elizabeth looked over at him with an expression of concern and maybe even yearning before quickly glancing away. Right, keep telling yourself this shite. John was right, you're a complete lunatic when it comes to that muggle girl, as he called her. Fuck, don't think about him. Son of a bitch will show up on the doorstep.
Lupin! Whatever happened? Did you find any of the Death Eaters? Lady Fanshawe screeched excitedly.
Quentin scowled at her, and Rosie winced and looked down at her plate. Honestly, it was so embarrassing that her grandmother, of all people, was so fascinated by wizards.
Well, I found out where they are, so that's a start,
Lupin replied kindly. He looked rather pale and disheveled, as if he hadn't had time to eat or sleep the past week, and the servants immediately began plying him with grilled tomatoes, bacon, fried bread, black pudding, sausages, and eggs.
Here's some more, the rotund cook informed him with a concerned clucking noise. You need to eat up. I'm going to fatten you up now that you're here. Yes, I is.
She told him with a satisfied expression. Lupin appeared rather alarmed by this statement, as well as by the amount of food piled up in front of him.
Thank you,
he replied quickly, and she beamed and waddled back into the kitchen, nodding and swaying her hips.
Where are they? Lady Fanshawe screeched happily. In a secret castle? Or the Forbidden Forest? Are they at Grim Old Place?
Lupin couldn't help laughing at this.
Well, they wouldn't last long in the Forbidden Forest, he replied knowingly. And if you'll remember, that's where Dolores had her encounter with the centaurs. I think she'd go back to Azkaban before she'd go in there. And Harry lives at Grim Old Place, Caroline. I doubt Malfoy and Umbridge are high on his list of desired house guests.
Why does he live there? It was such a dreadful place, she pronounced happily. She seemed as thrilled with his return as a besotted schoolgirl, and Richard kept glowering ferociously at both of them.
Well, Sirius left it to him, you know. He's got a sentimental attachment to it. Anyway, you wouldn't recognize it. It's thoroughly cleaned out, and Molly and Fleur have helped him fix it up a bit.
Everyone at the table seemed most interested in this, other than Richard, whom Lupin had decided would probably try and shoot him at some point in time, and he wasn't sure whether to feel embarrassed or enjoy the attention. Might as well opt for the latter. It'll wear off soon enough. These people have the attention span of a bunch of Cornish pixies.
Anyway, he continued cheerfully, Malfoy and Umbridge have decided to lie low and take on Muggle personae. They're in the States, this university in Colorado. Apparently Umbridge is teaching literature.
There were several snorts of amusement.
Eventually we'll go in and capture them, but they're not planning to do anything for about 6 months, so Shacklebolt's not in a hurry.
William looked relieved to hear this, and Lady Fanshawe clapped her hands and squealed.
The Minister of Magic! You know the Minister of Magic! Balderdash! Richard announced loudly. Minister of Mentals, I'd say! It's total codswallop! I'm not falling for this nonsense!
Lupin ignored Richard, but reminded himself to tell Kingsley about this muggle who'd called him the Minister of Mentals.
Well, certainly, I knew him when I was a boy. Met up with him a few times during the First War, and we lived together at Grim Old Place. Spent a lot of time bonding, guarding that bloody door, he said wryly. Anyway, he's my boss. Aura's answer to the Minister.
Kingsley's nice, William added, and was pleased when Rosie gave him an impressed look. He looks all big and scary, but he likes little kids. He's crazy about Teddy.
Anyway, what's Malfoy up to? He asked Lupin. Pretending to be a professor as well. Had to trail him for a while, which got rather tiresome. He went to some muggle party where everyone was dressed in costumes, got arsehole drunk, and broke this poor woman's cabinet. Then he confunds these two girls into covering up for him.
He shook his head in disgust. Dad! Teddy yelled loudly. I want to tell you about my spy mission. Nobody cares about those old Death Eaters, he added crossly.
Well, tell me then, Lupin replied with a smile.
Teddy came over and jumped on his lap with a satisfied expression.
Well, me and Tim had to find something, so...
He stopped when Timothy shot him a warning look.
You got out the Marauder's map,
Lupin finished.
Do you think I don't know when it's been used?
He added sternly.
Rosie made us do it so she could get away with Tom Turner!
Teddy screeched and his hair exploded into a violent shade of red.
I did not! I asked him! I didn't ask you to get involved!
Rosie screamed back. William had stopped smiling at her and was giving her an awful glare.
Well, you paid me for it, didn't you?
Teddy yelled triumphantly as he leapt off Lupin's lap and pulled the 50-pound note from his pocket.
Look, Dad! Muggle money!
Teddy, sit down, Lupin snapped crossly,
as William jumped up, kicked his chair over, and stormed out of the room.
Oh, you're as bad as Timothy! William is right!
Rosie shrieked and flew out of the room. There was a moment of silence.
It's always quite dull here at mealtimes, Quentin told Lupin sardonically. You mustn't let yourself get bored.
Teddy poked sullenly at his eggs.
We will talk about this after breakfast,
Lupin told him in a meaningful tone, and Teddy scowled. Rosie flung herself on her bed and pounded her pillow in a rage. She wasn't at all surprised when William appeared at her bedside, looking, if possible, even angrier than she was.
So, now you're paying my 6-year-old cousin to steal my shit? Don't you care he's gonna get in big trouble? Doesn't anything bother you? You're the most spoiled, selfish
You call me a bitch and I'll tell my dad!
Rosie yelled and flung her pillow at him.
That's your answer to everything, isn't it? That you will tell your bloody dad!
Just when I started to believe her again, William thought angrily, she was just manipulating me and lying.
I was just trying to find out the truth, Rosie screamed, so I can show you I do understand you and I'm not this horrible person you think I am.
Oh, please, William said disgustedly as he stomped about the room. Go sell that shot to somebody else.
Fine, I just wanted to make it up with you, but now I don't because I hate you,
she screeched and shoved him squarely in the chest.
Stop it, Rosie, you're a bloody lunatic.
She flew at him, and the next moment they were rolling about on the floor, with William unsuccessfully trying to push her away while Rosie kicked and scratched at him. Suddenly, she stopped and lay quite still. The worst thing she could have done, William thought, since she was lying right beneath him. Images of the night before flashed through his mind, and suddenly he didn't care how spoiled she was, how much she hated him, or what an awful crazy bitch she could be.
I want you to fuck me,
she whispered in his ear.
You know you want to.
He did know. They ended up shagging on the floor, on the couch, and finally the bed, and afterwards fell into an exhausted sleep.
When Rosie awoke, it was quite late in the afternoon, and William was sitting up in bed staring at her with a horrified expression. Bloody lovely, she thought sourly. Just the look you want after you've had incredible sex with the guy you really want to hate, but can't. He sprang up as soon as he saw she was awake.
Don't think we're getting back together. I still think you're a horrible spoiled brat.
He did not, however, sound particularly hostile.
Well, I still hate you, Rosie replied haughtily, and I don't want you back.
Can I come down tonight and you could hate me some more?
Sure, why not?
She replied sweetly. William disapparated with an embarrassed expression, and Rosie decided she had definitely gotten the better of him. Didn't really feel very good, though, she thought disconsolately. He's never going to trust me. Ever. Teddy handed Lupin his parchment full of sentences and stood in front of him, rattling off all the reasons why he shouldn't steal.
I'm really sorry, Dad,
he finally wailed and burst into tears, and Lupin, who knew he was telling the truth, gave him a hug.
I know you liked him, he said kindly, and I like him too, but you can't go along with everything he does. You have to think for yourself about what's right and wrong.
Teddy mulled this over a bit and nodded his assent.
Dad,
he said suddenly,
do you like living here?
Well, I suppose it's probably too soon to tell, Lupin replied truthfully. It isn't boring, I suppose. It's a good thing to learn about Muggles so we can understand them better, and we've our own floor up here and see our old friends the same as before.
I like it,
Teddy said seriously.
I like having Tim and a quadruped to play with, and Rosie gave me a hug yesterday, but now she's mad at me.
Well, I don't think she'll be mad if you apologize,
Lupin said lightly, and Teddy nodded vociferously. Female attention was something he always craved.
I don't think Aunt Elizabeth likes me,
he added in a conversational tone. Lupin was rather surprised by this sobriquet until he realized Teddy had picked up the quadruplet's habit of calling adults aunt and uncle.
Why is that?
Well,
Teddy replied thoughtfully,
well, she isn't mean to me. She just doesn't look at me. Aunt Solange showed me how to play a Muggle card game,
he added.
She likes me.
Elizabeth loves children. She said she wanted them more than anything. What's up with that?
Elizabeth is shy, he told Teddy firmly, and she always wanted children, but she couldn't ever have any. Maybe it makes her sad to be around you because it reminds her she hasn't any children of her own.
And I had a bloody fit over being a father and ended up with the best kid in the world. She wanted them desperately and didn't end up with any at all, and Victor was lying when he said she didn't care.
Maybe,
Teddy looked a bit more cheerful.
I think I know what you mean. Sometimes I feel sad when I see Tim with his mum, because I haven't got a mum.
He said this without a trace of self-pity, and Lupin felt tears come up in his eyes.
I'm sorry, Teddy, he said gently. I wish I could be a mum to you as well, but all I can be is a dad who loves you very much.
That's okay, Dad. We get along just fine, don't we?
He announced in a satisfied voice.
Just us two.
Teddy climbed up on his lap and nestled himself against his father.
Of course we do, Lupin replied firmly. We always have, and we always will. I thought about you every day when I was gone.
Teddy beamed at this, but Lupin had closed his eyes. And I dreamt about her every night.
Shit.